Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Today we will be discussing fostering reverence in family living. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, Second Counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today I'm joined by two special guests, Sister Cheryl A. Esplin, who's the Second Counselor in the Primary General Presidency. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you.
I'm excited. We've already had one episode talking about reverence, and I'm excited that you're here where you can help us understand a little bit more of what you're learning from children, because aren't children the great teachers? I mean, they're so pure. They just teach out of simplicity, and
right.
It's so relevant. I just love it.
They just say it just like it is, and they just do what they've learned, don't they?
Yes, they do, and I'm grateful for that. We're also joined by Sister Carol M. Stevens, who's the first counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you. It's great to be
here. I'm excited to learn from what you're learning also throughout the world.
Well, we know that if we're going to help children to be more reverent, then we need to have a little bit more reverence in our homes. So we're trying to strengthen homes and families.
Oh, that's so great, because really, that isn't at the core of everything that we do. I mean, the church says this all the time, and I don't think it's just nice things to say. It's really what we honestly believe is the only way that we can be able to cure or at least address the ills of the world today. It's starting within a home. And one of the things that I love about this is a home is not simply where we teach values. It's where we learn to value values. And I think that that's a critical element in reverence. So when we talk about reverence, we spoke about this in our first episode dealing with this topic, is reverence is more than what some individuals think it is. It's more than just being quiet. It's more than just being able to say, oh, I love Heavenly Father. It's something that actually really seeps over, where Elder Perry once said that reverence flows from our admiration and respect for deity or our Father in heaven. So it's a flowing experience. And as we talked about in our first episode, it flows into all parts of life. So I'm hoping that on this episode, we can continue that conversation of how it flows into life and what we can do to foster reverence. We talked a little bit about last time of starting in the home and how important it is to be an example of reverence. And that's just started to take off on its own. So I want to kind of continue on that, is how can we foster, I'm using that word on purpose, foster, encourage, even empower reverence in the lives of children, young people, and even, well, it doesn't matter what age, does it really? This is a genderless, ageless, cultureless experience with reverence. Any thoughts? What's the first thing that pops into your mind? Fostering reverence.
You know, for one thing, to begin with, I don't think that reverence is a natural tendency for children. I think it's something that needs to be exemplified, you know, learned by example, and also training. Children need to be trained and taught. And we talked about, you know, teaching them what reverence is and why we should be reverence. I remember asking a little boy, what is reverence? And, you know, his response was, it's when you fold your arms and be quiet.
Okay.
And to children, that's what reverence is. And they don't see the broad, big view of it that we do. And we do see, just like you said, that its tentacles go into every aspect of our lives.
So can we be better in teaching children those tentacles?
Yes.
Maybe pointing them out is one way we can do that, is making connections when we're talking about things. This is really, I don't know, I'm grasping for straws here. This is really the way we feel about Heavenly Father, is why we actually do this.
You know, we begin early, and we give expectations and help them understand, you know, teach them in every situation. There are so many situations in our daily lives that we could teach children to be reverent.
Oh, this is so important, because actually the relevance of the gospel is when it's relevant to daily living. I mean, really, this is a disciple's life is one that is actually living the gospel, not simply talking about, etc. Interestingly enough, when you look at a disciple, that comes from the Latin, which is actually the same root word for discipline. So when you're talking about learning and disciplining oneself. That's a disciple's life, is there are things we do and things we don't do. And I love this. We talked about this briefly in our first episode, is and knowing why, when and where and how is an important part of disciples. We're not simply saying jump to jump. There are purposes and reasons that the Lord is asking us to do what he asks us to do.
You know, the beautiful thing about teaching it and being aware of it yourself is that then it makes a difference in your own life. Oh, and you find yourself just studying and preparing for this session caused me to reflect on my own reverence. And I could see a lot of ways that I need to improve. And just becoming aware.
Cheryl, I thought you were perfect. You're blowing me away here. I thought that actually you were perfect in every way. You're like Mary Poppins.
I wish.
But you bring up such a wonderful point here, and I love the terms that you're using. Things like becoming aware of reverence and then reflective in our own life. Oh, boy, that is so important in every disciple's life. Sometimes I think this is the world, is we are so busy getting from point A to point B that we're not thinking about the journey in that experience. It's just get there, get it done, checklist experience, etc., without being aware of how this influences and what can be otherwise. This is really amazing.
I loved what you said about how can we connect the dots, how can we make those connections, because I've been thinking about that for a long time, and I've thought, that's something we're missing right now. For a long time, we've just said, here are the rules, and we do these things, but we've not really discussed the doctrine or the why we do it and connected the dots for our children or even for young adults. So I'd just like to share a little experience, and it's not about reverence, but it's about connecting dots. So maybe to just get us thinking a little bit, my father-in-law passed away in November, and at the viewing, I was greeting some other family members and just visiting with other people, and I kept turning around to check on my mother-in-law, and my little 9-year-old grandson was just standing by her, just watching over her. He was there most of the time. Every time I turned around to check on her, he was either had his arm linked through hers, or he was patting her hand, or he would rub her back, or he'd get her a drink. I couldn't get this image out of my mind. I just was so impressed at how he just...
9 years old?
Nine. It was just watching over his granny. So a couple of days after the funeral, I decided I needed to tell him what I saw, because I thought about the why he was doing that. And I just wanted to connect that with him. And so I sent him a little email, and I just told him how impressed I was when I saw him watching over his granny. And I mentioned to him a few of the things that I'd seen him do for her. And I said to him, I put in the scriptures from Messiah about when we're baptized that we make a covenant that we'll mourn with those that mourn and comfort those that stand in need of comfort. And I put those scriptures in, and I told him, that's what I saw you doing. I saw you being a covenant keeper. You were keeping your covenants and taking care of Granny. And he wrote me back. I thanked him for showing me what it looked like to be a covenant keeper in small and simple ways.
This is great.
So then he wrote back to me, and he had connected the dots then. He said, Grandma, when you told me what I was doing for Granny, I didn't realize that was keeping my covenants. But when I read that, I felt warm in my heart. I know it was the Spirit. So by noticing and by telling him, I saw you doing something good, he was able to connect the dots and say, I was a covenant keeper and I felt the Spirit. That's what that was. When I was taking care of Granny, I was feeling the Spirit, but I didn't know what that was. So I guess that's what I'm thinking about with teaching reverence too, is, you know, it begins with us as parents. It's what we really feel. It's what we reflect. It's what we do and how we behave. And if we can see our children doing those kinds of things, being kind, you know, showing respect and reverence for others, especially during the sacrament or something like that. We can connect dots for them, and then they start to understand this is something deeper than just folding my arms and being quiet.
That's right. And that doesn't take away from folding arms or reverential tones. It's actually an important part. It's almost like all of these things are threads. They're woven together to make the fabric
right.
of reverence. And one without the other starts to unravel the strength of it. I love this. And Sister Stevens, as you were talking, I couldn't help but think of a statement by David O. McKay where he said, reverence is profound respect mingled with love.
Mm-hmm.
And so is when you're saying, I don't know if this has anything to do with reverence, I'm thinking, actually, this has everything yeah. to do with reverence, is the love that we show for others in respecting them is mingled with the reverence of love of God, and it changes the way that we interact, or mm-hmm. should.
That's right.
Isn't that so lovely? Nice example.
Well, they do need to be taught, because he didn't recognize that what he was doing was anything extraordinary. He didn't recognize it was covenant keeping. He didn't recognize it was showing respect or anything like that. And he didn't recognize what he felt.
That's nice. And, so, and fortunately, he had a loving grandmother mm-hmm. who was able to go through and be the guide and say, here, let me point some things out without being overly overhanded in a way, but being able to do this in a nurturing way. This is really something important here is primary teachers, young women leaders, Relief Society, priesthood leaders, teachers all throughout, parents have this opportunity to guide. It's the Savior. You know, what is he always saying when he had individuals come and ask him questions? Well, come and see. And they abide the day with him, and it changes their lives.
And what I loved about what you did is you taught him.
Yeah.
You taught him what it was, and you taught him with love. And the root of reverence is love.
That's right.
And so
I think that goes to what we need to be doing in our homes. I was grateful because the Spirit prompted me that I needed to tell Porter what I saw.
Right.
So I think, you know, it goes back to, yes, we're trying to strengthen our families and our homes, but we can't do that unless we are increasing in our faith and personal righteousness.
Nice. And what you're saying is important too, is you feel the Spirit prompting you to go in a direction and you teach Porter that. But one of the things I love about your story was Porter fills the Spirit for himself, and it validates the whole experience where it becomes one. This mm-hmm. is good learning and teaching is when we combine that. And sometimes in the educational field, they often call this transference of knowledge, is sometimes we talk about something and we assume everybody in the class is going to transfer what they learned into their real life living. And actually, it's kind of bleak sometimes, the statistics of whether or not people are transferring. And so we were actually doing some interviews talking about how do we improve learning and teaching in the gospel setting. And we're finding sometimes we're not transferring very well, connecting in a spiritual way. So we've interviewed a lot of sisters, for example, and they're saying, well, we love Relief Society and it teaches gospel principles, but we wish it would teach us about how to be better mothers. And you're like going, well, actually, that's what we do. Everything is about that. But what's happening is we're assuming they're transferring a concept of reverence into mothering when it's not connecting very well for some. And we need to provide opportunities, not in an overhanded way, but opportunities to connect mm-hmm. reverence, gospel principles with living, mothering, fathering, mm-hmm. etc.
We can't expect our children to come to church and sit quietly with their arms folded when we have had a hectic, mm-hmm. running out the door, we are late kind of a morning.
We've revved them up.
Mm-hmm. We have. We've revved them up, and then we expect them to go to church and sit and mm-hmm. be still. And so it does begin with us and our preparation in teaching mm-hmm. our children.
This is so important. As a matter of fact, I was at a sacrament meeting I was visiting on an assignment not long ago, and honestly, there was a low roar from the beginning and throughout the entire meeting. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't help but notice that, and I thought, wow, they must have a lot of children. Actually, it was just a normal setting. They did have a lot of children, but it was actually the adults who were talking, and sometimes full voice. Mm-hmm. When you're sitting on the stand and you can hear conversations, that is not reverence for many different levels. I'm not just talking about audible reverence in many levels. And then also I couldn't help but notice of how many people were connected on electronic devices. And I know people use their scriptures and things like that, but throughout the entire meeting, they were not connected. And I thought, you know, the sad part is this meeting, I'm not trying to be critical or judgmental, was not very reverential in the way that the tone was on all levels, from the noise to the paying attention to the respect that was shown. This is God's time. This is where this is about you, not mm-hmm. me, etc. Interesting thought. Cheryl?
Well, I was just reading about a class that had decided they were going to go to sacrament meeting and that they were not going to talk. They were going to just be reverent and just enjoy and soak up and feel the Spirit, and they were not going to talk. And then they described their experience in trying to do that. And one boy said he sat down, and the first thing his dad wanted to know is, where did you park the car? And so he and his dad kept pushing him until he told him where he parked the car. So, and then one girl, her mother dashed over and said, did you remember to turn the oven on? You know, and the girl nodded her head, but the mother pushed her because she wanted to know what temperature she said. And I thought, yes, you know, sometimes it is the adults that just we forget and we get in there. And
sadly, it's sometimes the leaders.
Yes.
Oh, is that the truth?
Yes.
You know, I've been in lots of places where I love the example of President Packer. President Packer, wherever we see him, he arrives early and he sits quietly, mm-hmm. and he's just preparing. And I've been in many meetings where I've gone into a sacrament meeting to speak or something, and I like to get there a little early too and just prepare myself and just look into the audience and try to feel the Spirit. And I have others just coming over and asking me questions and wanting to talk to me and last-minute details, and then we just expect that when the prelude music ends that we're ready to just stand up and everyone's going to be quiet.
In fact, somebody said reverence starts with, or sacrament meeting starts with the prelude music,
right?
Not with the opening prayer.
So we have a lot to learn as leaders and as parents to help children. We need to be showing a better example in lots of ways.
This is good. As a matter of fact, I'm grateful this is coming out because this is kind of where we started. It's becoming aware. It's aware of how this is affecting all things and influencing others and ourselves in the way that we worship or connect with our Father in heaven. And as leaders, as parents, as children, as youth, etc., start to see this bigger picture and are aware that actually, sure, you're looking up something maybe on a device or even perusing your scriptures. Maybe this is the time to close and allow the Spirit to connect with us. We talked about this in the last episode, is unplugging, finding ways, opportunities. I think this is so important, creating opportunities. In other words, giving individuals the opportunity to exercise their agency to choose to become part of things becomes meaningful conversion. And if we create opportunities in a home, in a class, in a setting, then it gives individuals to have this experience. But becoming aware obviously seems to be a very important first step.
Oh, I agree. And I'm not sure how we get that to happen, but it does happen. I was visiting in Mexico not long ago and was going to do a fireside for women. And when we arrived, it was about 15 minutes before the meeting would begin. We entered a door on the front of the chapel, and as I walked in, I heard nothing but music. The prelude was being played. The entire chapel, cultural hall, stage, rooms outside, everywhere they could get sound were filled, but I didn't hear one sound but the music. It was absolutely silent. And when I walked into that chapel, the Spirit was so strong, I started to cry. The Spirit was so strong, and they were sitting there in absolute silence, preparing themselves to hear from their from the area president and from me that night. And I was so grateful because they had come so prepared. The Spirit was there, and whatever I said was going to be just fine because they would hear what they needed to hear.
This is so nice, and it's manifest in so many, many ways, so many mm-hmm. ways. I've had similar experiences where you walk into a congregation or a group of individuals, and we talked about this in the last session, they're dressed in such a way that the Spirit just immediately hits you. I can't help but think of the temple. My daughter, who's just recently entered into the MTC, receiving her endowments and having this experience, commented over and over about the feeling she felt in the temple. And much of that was about the way individuals were dressed, the way that there was quiet. I mean, you don't have like even music playing in the temple. I mean, there's a time and a place for all things, but this is a time of great introspection. It's a time to be able to feel and let the Lord work upon you in wondrous ways. But it was interesting. She picked up on all these different things of what we're saying here, is whether it's people being quiet, people dressed appropriately. There's a reverential tone. As a matter of fact, I was speaking to a scholar, not a member of our faith, and he wrote a book actually on reverence, and he said that it is the great lost virtue of our day and age is reverence. And it was interesting to me of what he was talking about were so aligned with the principles that we believe in the church, but he was talking about, wouldn't it be nice if we could come back in our society and be more civil, which he was calling more reverent. And I believe that really the best way to do that is as we come closer to our Father in heaven. It influences society, and we can maybe not change the entire world, but we can change the world that we live in.
Oh, and especially we need we want that in our homes. Yes. We want our homes to be a refuge, a place of peace, a place of love. And, you know, we sing this song in primary, "If the Savior stood beside me, would I do the things I do? Would I say the things I say?" And sometimes we just have to think about that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it just brings us back to where we ought to be, because we just get so caught up in what's going on out there.
This is so nice. I think of I'm not saying this is the right way to do it, but we found some interesting traction with this in our own home. Early in our family life, I was working on some research about adolescent development of what really it was, what causes young people, children, to be good young adults or young teenagers, and what causes teenagers to turn into good, productive adults. It's kind of a citizenship thing. How do we get these people to turn into good citizens? And so I was doing a lot of research for a couple of years, and things kept on popping out, characteristic traits that would come up over and over again. One of them was respect. Individuals, young people who learn to respect others and respect others' property, respect a country, a culture, then they are most likely to be good teenagers who are respectful, and then they become respecting adults. Things like being resourceful, taking responsibility. Anyway, this became the core of our family kind of motto. We call them the 5 R's to live by. And we started off with what came from research. But we started off with saying reverence must be that our beginning. So we start off with reverence, and then we go to respect, responsibility, resourcefulness, and then resolve, never quit, you know, kind of a thing. And we say these after family prayers. Every family is different. But for us, it was making or creating an opportunity for our children to be aware. We even engraved these 5 words in our medroom walls up on the cornice, you know, kind of thing. So when you come into our home, when you go out, these are the 5 R's. Now, here's the reason I actually wanted to bring this up is this, as a parent, listening to you talk, started thinking, hey, this might have been actually a pretty good idea. But sometimes when things are going not well with our children, or we have something that needs a slight correction, or people aren't speaking in tones, many times I'll hear my wife or we'll say, now, which of the R's aren't we? If this is who we are and what we're trying to live by, which R is being violated? And they'll think for a moment, and the children say, it's reverence. I'm not showing reverence for our Father in heaven by the way that I'm saying this. That was actually has been a good thing in making aware and talking about connecting dots in a way of this is about showing respect for others because we have reverence for. Does that make sense? So give me some other great ideas or thoughts of ways that you've experienced or seen individuals fostering reverence in marriage, even in their marriages. We've talked a lot about with children, but what about, surely this has something to do with marriage, reverence in a marital relationship. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, did you love Elder Falabella's talk in General Conference?
Loved it. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
His sweet wife said, "It takes two to contend and I will never be one of them."
Yes.
Oh, perfect.
That's respect. Uh-huh. That's reverence. And that's showing forth great love.
That's good. As a matter of fact, you triggered another conference talk. We were looking at what was happening with Elder Clayton, where he was talking about marriage throughout the experience. And I love the last line that he said, and I might be not doing this completely accurate, but I think that it's pretty close. He said, "My marriage to my sweetheart or to my wife is God's gift to us." And then he said, "But the quality of our marriage is our gift to God. For me, that was a lot about respect of the way that they're approaching their relationship with each other, but it was inseparably tied to our Father in heaven as they could see that covenantal relationship. The way we live our marriage is actually a reflection to our love for God and our respect or reverence for God.
Well, and there is nothing that creates more of a security in a child than to know that his parents love each other.
Oh, that's nice.
And that they demonstrate that love.
I like that a lot. As a matter of fact, President McKay, and we've heard this in the last few conferences as well, alluded to or specifically mentioned, used to say the best way to be able to show that you love your children is to love their mother. And I think that goes in a familial setting is reverence and respect is a sibling experience. It's a family experience. It's a community experience. Anything else pop into
Absolutely.
Mind?
Absolutely. Just jumping off of what Cheryl just said, when children observe the way that we treat each other as companions, that fosters either respect the way that they treat us as their parents. Just for instance, my husband's always treated me with great respect and reverence for womanhood, and we have four sons, and they have done the same. I look sometimes at the way that young men treat their mothers, and I think, wow, I was so blessed. My sons have never treated me with anything but respect.
That's so good.
And I just know it's because they've watched the way their father treated me and also the way their grandfathers have treated their grandmothers. So grateful for that. I feel for young men and young women, for children who don't have those kinds of examples in their home.
Because it is passed on.
Yes.
It's just passed on. Those attitudes and behaviors become our children's attitudes and behaviors and our grandchildren's attitudes and behaviors.
This is an important concept on many different levels, and I appreciate you bringing this up. I teach a class called LDS Marriage and Family Living and Relationships, and one of the things that my students bring up is the fact that they have a difficult time feeling confident in the principles that the gospel teaches about relationships because they've never actually seen it in real life. They hear about it in church. They go home. Almost all of them are members of the church, but don't see what is preached in the gospel being manifest in their home. And as a result, it undermines their confidence that actually this can happen, is that there are relationships that are based upon reverence and respect and that they work in harmony. So I'm grateful for you bringing that up. And I'm also grateful that this works on many different levels. As a matter of fact, I mentioned this scholar who wrote about reverence. He talked about he was in the presence of a man who was very reverential. Now, I would have called that man probably spiritual. But it's interesting the influence of people who have great esteem and reverence for our Father in heaven, and it's manifest in the way that they live. And it might not be in a proselytizing way, manifest in the way that they approach others and their love for life influences individuals. They're saying something's going on here. You have great reverence for your God. And it's true. Cheryl?
I just remember one of our missionaries in our mission, when asked what was one of the most important things that he was taking home from his mission, he said, I have seen here that marriages can work, that families can work. He had come from just a dysfunctional home and family, and his parents were divorced, his grandparents were divorced, most of his aunts and uncles were, and there was just contention in all of these relationships. And he was just delighted that he could go home.
I am happy for that missionary. What a blessing to him.
And you know, he was with us in our mission home a lot.
That's nice.
And he was out in homes of, he was a leader, so he was with stake presidents and their wives, and he saw relationships work. And that surprised me. I had no idea that you could come and never see a relationship that worked.
It's more prevalent than perhaps we might think. That was a striking thing for me, is to see how many of my students were really worried about that. And I thought, we need to be better at actually being just disciples.
Well, it's important for us when we're in a difficult situation like that to realize we don't have to stay there. You know,
this is good.
As a young mother, I'd never been a mother before. I had a wonderful mother. I had a wonderful mother-in-law. I looked at them. I saw things that they did that I liked, and that's what I wanted to do and be. And I looked at women in my ward and said, I want to be as patient as she is in sacrament meeting with her children. I want to be speaking with a soft voice the way she does. I looked at other people and I think I built the kind of mother I was based on what I saw in a lot of women that I had so much respect for.
Well, I've always said, and I'm not even embarrassed about this anymore, is I'm a gleaner. I always have
been. Absolutely.
I do exactly what you are saying. Mm-hmm. And rather than saying, oh, gee whiz, everyone's doomed to this type of a relationship, I'll say, oh, I notice I don't like that. What do I need to do not to be that way?
I love
this part. I want to incorporate that or tweak it in a way. We are out of time, but I would like to ask just really quickly your impressions. So be thinking very quickly. This is going to be a difficult question to answer because there's so many great answers. What are the blessings that come from individuals who live a life filled with reverence? What's the first thing that comes to your mind and saying, oh, this is worth it? Because the world is telling us it doesn't matter. Everything is so casual, so coarse. There are no really lines anymore. We're looking at social issues with dealing with gender, with roles of gender, with age. All these things are going on. And in some ways, I think that these are accentuated or more problematic because of a lack of reverence. So the world's telling us there is no blessing. It doesn't matter. But I believe with all of my heart and all of my soul that there are blessings from those who live with reverence. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested. What would you say, Cheryl?
The first word that comes to my mind is joy. I really think that reverence increases our joy and love. And all those good things, all those Christ-like attributes.
This is nice. And it's probably not the love the world promotes or the joy that they talk about because it's something, it's not flavored. It's essentially tied to a divine, which is different. That's the hardest part about describing this. Carol?
I think what we're maybe trying to describe is that we have the Spirit with us. And so all of the good things that we feel, the peace and the joy and the hope and the first word I thought of was peace, because when you're reverent, when you have reverence in your life, when you take time to be still and just reflect and you have the Spirit, then everything goes better.
And all of these are just fruits of the Spirit, peace and
Absolutely.
Joy and love. They're just fruits of the Spirit.
So that's
the gift, I think, of living a reverent life is being able to have the Spirit with you in everything that you do. Then all of these things that are, all the turmoil that's happening around you, you can live in that, but you don't have to be part of it because you have this hope for something better because you have the Spirit.
This is so nice. Thank you so much for your comments. I think just maybe in one last shot is listening to everything that you're saying here is I can't help but think of a talk that President Packer gave years ago. The title of it is Reverence Invites Revelation. And listening to what you're saying is it's almost like a cycle, isn't it? Is the more reverent we are, the more revelation we get, the more revelation we get, the more reverent we become. And that works together in deepening our love for a Father in heaven, which in turn deepens our love for self and love for others. And there's nothing more important than that in a marriage and in a family. Thank you so much for your example, for your wisdom, for the things that you've been teaching. Thank goodness for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for prophets, seers, and revelators who help us to become aware of our relationship with the Father in heaven. Thank goodness for reverence. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.